Temple of Praise Christian Church Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here and we are waiting for you to come on in. Yes, it is time for Bible study, so gather your family members and come on in so we can get started.
Well, we praise God for each of you who are going to be a part of this study tonight, and we give God praise, honor, and glory, for truly this is indeed the day that He's made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're certainly grateful for God sustaining us in the midst of everything that's happening in our world. We missed last week, but we're back and we're ready to go tonight. We're in the 27th chapter of Leviticus. That's the last chapter in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And we're going to take our time and walk through there tonight. And if we don't finish it all tonight, we'll have an opportunity to do so on next week and maybe even do a review. But we praise God for each of you. This is the 8th day of July. And we praise God for the new month that we're in and how we have been sustained through all of June. And here it is in the heat of the summer in Memphis, Tennessee. And so we give God praise. Well, let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace, your power, and your protection. We're honored by the fact that you have included us in your plan for this day. And we thank you for keeping us throughout the day and allowing us to participate in everything that you have in store. And so, God, we ask that you allow our witness to be even greater as we gather to gain insight from your word and how we can be more effective in our witness. And so we thank you now, God, for this time that you've afforded us. We're grateful for each person that's going to be a part of this study and those who will join us after this particular study by playback. And so, God, we pray now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us and you can see us. We have a couple of platforms that we're operating out of. We want to make sure that all systems are go. We did a check earlier, and looks like everything is flowing. Somebody give us a thumbs up or let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight. Well, we hope you've already prepared for this 27th chapter. And Lady Kim, we're not going to try to get through all of it, but we'll see how far we can go. We want to talk a little bit about, well, we missed a whole week of things that transpired, but somebody says loud and clear. Thank you so much. But we missed a whole week. That's going to take our memory back a little bit to do some searching to reflect on what we missed. But we're just... use the short-term memory and not the long-term memory tonight and deal with what we are able to remember. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right. Well, yesterday, of course, this past weekend, we celebrated the 4th of July. And many were still out and perhaps even made it a four-day holiday. 4th of July was on a Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, some even took Sunday. A lot of people were traveling. Many were present. We had quite a few visitors sharing with us. I like to call them guests because it's a distinction between being a visitor and a guest, but they were guests at ATOP, and we were grateful for that. And then we saw some people who we hadn't seen in a while, and so I thought everything went well. Tell us a little bit about what you heard and what you witnessed on yesterday as we worship together on the Labor Day. Well, what was it? 4th of July. Yeah, the 4th of July weekend holiday.
Amen. Well, it was an unusual service on yesterday, but a powerful one nonetheless. Your sermon topic was, "It Only Happens When I Pray." You've been in a season, well, we've been in a season of listening and preaching sermons around prayer, and your sermon topic, "It Only Happens When I Pray," was a very interesting one. Your scripture that you came from was from James, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And a portion of that is a very familiar passage of scripture that we recite all the time, and that's that in that the B section of that 16th verse, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And this is the section in which we all often recite, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And so we know that an effective and fervent prayer is one where we direct our line of communication to God, and we expect God to answer, and He always does. And so I don't think you got to any of your points yesterday, because you had one of our members come up and give his testimony. Brother Charles Reynolds came up and gave his testimony, and what an awesome testimony it was, how he had been in the hospital for several weeks, and they had counted him out. You know, they didn't expect him to make it, but there he was in the worship service, giving God praise, honor, and glory for his strength and his healing and for his comeback. And so we're still praying with and for Brother Charles as he continues to recover and gain his strength. But, you know, you talked about, or he talked about how he had heard a message, or he had heard someone say, you know, "It only happens when I pray." And he knew the church was praying for him. He knew the intercessors were praying for him. He knew individuals were praying for him. But when he heard, "It only happens when I pray," he began to pray for himself. And so, and as a result, he said he believes in the power of prayer. He could feel the prayers of the righteous. But as he began to pray for himself, something wonderful and miraculous began to happen.
Well, you're absolutely right, Lady Kim, and I think the background for that whole sermon came as a result of a conversation that I had with him several weeks ago, and he stopped by the office just to share his testimony, how he had been in the hospital, not just a couple of weeks, but it was months, and how he was going through all kinds of treatments and all kinds of trial treatments that the doctors were trying to do on him to regulate his condition. And something began to spin and something began to churn in my spirit as we sat there and talked. And that whole verse and that whole scripture in James that you just read, it really sets the tone for how important it is for us to include prayer and be consistent in our prayers, and not just allow that to be something that happens when things look like they're about to fall apart or we find ourselves in a tragic situation. Prayer is important. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the glue that holds everything together. Our relationship with God is critical, and God wants communication with us. And what better way is for us is to develop a spiritual discipline of prayer. And the effective, fervent prayers, one scripture says, of the righteous availeth much, or the man or the woman availeth much. And so I think even in that scripture, Lady Kim, they talked about Elijah and how he prayed, and he asked God to do something, and God came and showed himself strong on his behalf, and he did it right early. And it didn't rain for, I believe, 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And the rain started. And it just showed the power and the presence of prayer and how important that is for us as believers. And as you indicated, many times we get in such a hurry to ask others to pray for us, or we depend upon the prayers of the righteous to get us through. But something happens unusual. It's an unusual pull in the spirit that takes place when we take ownership of our own prayers and when we consult with God. I believe that Brother Charles was already praying, but yes. I think that title of that sermon that he said he heard just ignited something in him. And even in an unconscious state, he was there existing because of the power in the presence of prayer. Amen. And so I want to encourage somebody tonight and just let you know that if you don't take ownership of your own situation and the blessing that God yet has in store for you, you're really limiting yourself in terms of the relationship that God wants to have with you. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, yes. and all of these other things shall be added unto us. Yes. But we want to try everything under the sun, and we want to go here, we want to go there. We want to consult with everybody. And then when all of that falls out, when all of that falls apart, that's when we decide we're going to try God.
Well,
but God is the same yesterday, today,
yes,
and forevermore.
He is.
And so I want to encourage you tonight, and you'll probably hear more sermons around prayer, and we're going to talk about how important that is. But I want to encourage you today to make sure that if you haven't already developed a spiritual discipline of prayer, you know, the Bible talks about prayer throughout the Bible. And it's no shortage of how God begins to move when he fills the heart of us believers, the heart of believers, as they establish that relationship with him through prayer. Prayer is our elevator up and our escalator down. And so we ought not ever think that God does not hear us. He not only hears, but he answers. Somebody say amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
He is a prayer answering God. And if you haven't gotten what you've been praying for, keep on praying.
Keep praying.
Keep on believing. Keep on trusting God.
Yes.
Keep on holding on. Just like in Brother Charles' situation, he didn't know when God was going to deliver, how God was going to do it. But he came in and shared how God came in right early,
yes.
to see about him. I want to encourage you tonight that even though you might not have gotten an answer to the prayer that you've been praying, keep on praying,
keep on
trusting God, keep on believing. He may not come when you want him to, but I believe I got about 5 or 6 witnesses on here tonight, Lady Kim, who knows that he's always right on time.
Always on
and
time.
And so we can trust the timing of God in our situation.
Amen.
And I believe sometimes those prayers help us to really connect with the relationship that God so desperately want us to have with him, and that's through prayer.
Amen. And prayer is the key that opens many doors. So we can't stop praying.
That's
right.
We
can't get tired of praying.
Can't get tired.
We can't just rely on our own power.
That's right.
But we have to rely on the power, and not only the power, but the presence of an Almighty
Absolutely.
God through prayer. And, you know, the Holy Spirit gives those prayers wings, you know,
mm-hmm.
To take them on to heaven.
That's right.
So we just thank God for the power of prayer. God sent back the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to lead us. And we're to trust that Spirit of God within us and always look to God through prayer.
That's it. That's it. And even though we didn't get to those points that you talked about earlier, we really did, because the first point was that prayer is a direct line of communication with God. And so when we establish consistency and when we are obedient to what God requires of us, we understand clearly that prayer is a direct line of communication. And through prayer, we ought to acknowledge our dependence on God, mm-hmm. to see about our situation.
Hallelujah.
We can't get in such a hurry to ask everybody else to do what only God can do for
That's
us.
Right.
And when God shows up, you'll have a testimony, just as Brother Charles had on yesterday, mm-hmm. and you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it wasn't your money, it wasn't where you live, it wasn't your family history or your background. I wish I could get somebody to help me tonight.
Hallelujah.
It's not about the kind of job or income that you make, but it's all because of what God was able to do in your situation.
Amen.
And so you'll be able to testify and say it was
nobody but God.
Come on, somebody
Amen.
Type, it was nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
Yeah, prayer is a lifestyle. what comments are we having there, Lady Kim?
Yes, we have to be intentional. Minister Monique said being intentional with God through prayer. You know, sometimes many of us just go to God in prayer when, like you said yesterday, the roof is caving in.
The roof is
about to fall in. When troubles are pressing us on every hand, we turn to God. But it's not only when things are pressing in on us, we need to be intentional about prayer. Praying every day. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing.
That's right.
That means just like you breathe. Somebody says, how can you pray without ceasing, continuously praying, just like you breathe without ceasing breathing? You know, there's a pause in between each breath. You can pray without ceasing also.
That's right. That's
pray, take a breath and pray some more. Pray, take a minute, relax, and pray some more. Everything you say should be a prayer whispered to God.
That's it. And when we have that kind of consistency in prayer, we develop intimacy with God.
Amen.
And so when the crisis comes, when the situation looks like it's not lining up, then God will have no problem in recognizing you. And you will have no problem in recognizing where your help comes from.
That's right.
Because all of our help comes from the Lord.
All of our help comes from
you. Somebody's on the line even tonight, Lady Kim, who's struggling, and they are waiting for God to yet come and see about them. Mm-hmm. But we want to encourage you tonight to trust Him. Don't grow weary. Continue to be consistent in your prayer, discipline, and know that God has not forgotten about you. One thing for sure, you can hold on to the promises of God. His promises are sure, and His satisfaction is guaranteed. And so you can always trust God. And sometimes I think we're waiting on God to do something opposite of us, Him doing something in us and through us.
Amen.
Many times God is trying to do a work on the inside of us to get us ready for what He's yet preparing for us down the road.
Right.
So don't resist the move of God and the change that God might be trying to allow to happen in your life to get you ready for what He yet has in store for you down the road. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes,
you know, if when you say resist what God is doing in your life, sometimes we're so used to things being a certain way.
That's right.
That we are not open to the change.
That's right.
And we have to be open to the change because God has something new and different for us.
That's right.
I know a lot has been transpiring at Memphis Shelby County Schools, but at first it was difficult for a lot of people. But for those who I have spoken with, who has experienced great change because of their position and downsizing and different things, they said that the change has been a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
At first, it was difficult. It was hard to accept that change. But there it was all along, God holding them and guiding them and directing them. And He'll do the same thing for you.
That's right.
Sometimes we feel like the world is bruising us and giving us blow after blow. But once we get back in the ring, get back in the fight, get back on the prayer wall, then things start to happen.
That's right.
God shows Himself strong on our behalf. So don't give up the fight. Stay
right.
in the fight.
That's it.
Don't resist change, though. You know, one thing is sure, one thing is certain, every day, every minute of the day, and that's change.
Change.
You know, and so we have to learn how to accept change and to take the best. I know the old folks used to say make lemonade out of lemons, but you know I am old folks now, so make lemonade out of those lemons and put a little of that sweet Holy Spirit in there and stir it around.
That's
and
right.
Watch God make a sweet, syrupy lemonade that you can sip and enjoy on a cool day.
That's good. That's good. Now, as we talked about yesterday, even about the prayer breakfast that's coming up, and we asked for at least 75 people after the service to go ahead and get their tickets and to make sure that they sign up. That's at the end of this month. Lady Kim is going to be our speaker, and we're going to have various people who will be praying this is a part of the women's ministry as well as the intercessors. Is
yes,
that correct?
That's correct.
That's sponsoring this, and it's not limited to anyone participating. And we're looking to have a great time. We're looking to receive a great word. And I think that's going to really kind of shape everything for us as we close out July. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is indeed a prayer answering God. And for those who perhaps have a prayer request, you know, it's one thing for us to list those requests and ask others to pray for us. But I believe something just happens in the spirit realm when we not only ask for prayer, but when we participate in prayer. And as we said on yesterday, it only happens when you pray. Something happens when you decide to take ownership of what God is trying to get done in you. And he releases something that gives you clear evidence. And you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we want you to put your prayer request down, but we also want you to be on the prayer call that happens on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. And it lasts for an hour, I mean about 30 minutes. And then, of course, on Tuesday mornings, many of you don't know, our Golden Ministry, they are praying at 6 a.m. every Tuesday, and they are lifting up concerns, and they are praying, and they are believing God for situations and for change to happen. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of the prayer intercessory ministry that happens each week. And don't just list your concerns, but participate in what God is trying to get done. Somebody say participate. I need to participate. That's right. And so we're excited about that, Lady Kim, and we're looking forward to the prayer breakfast. I believe it's going to be a sellout. I don't know how many they are anticipating on coming, but we had a generous contribution from one of our members, and some people just bought tickets and say, here you go, Pastor, y'all just distribute these and give them to people who can't afford. It's $15, but you know, when we get ready to lay that breakfast out, you're going to be trying to give a tip, but it's going to be worth way more than the $15, and people are already excited about it, and we're looking forward to the prayer breakfast. And we thank God for the intercessory prayer ministry as well as the ministry of the women who are sponsoring this breakfast that's open to the entire congregation.
Amen. So invite your family members and friends to come. It's open to men, women, boys, and girls. We will have some youth praying also. So make sure that you are in the number.
All right, Reverend, you put your radio voice on me right there. I was looking over there to see who that was. One thing y'all probably don't know, Lady Kim, back in the day, she used to be a DJ when she was in college. Y'all didn't know that. How many of y'all knew that? Lift up your hand and say, well, I already knew that, Reverend. But no, that's one of the things you probably didn't know about Lady Kim. And if you said that you already knew it, then just type in what was her DJ name back in the day if you say you knew that. But Lady Kim, she used to be on the radio at what was the name of the school?
Wiley College.
At Wiley College.
And the Great Debaters.
All right. And so she had this voice. You know how the radio personalities come on and you see them after the show and you trying to figure out, is that the same person? Lady Kim used to work it, I'm telling you. But we do praise God for each of you tonight, and we're certainly grateful for God yet sustaining us. A lot of people say, I believe it, Reverend. She was called Lady, don't tell them your DJ name.
Yeah, you can tell
them. Huh?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of it. It was KJ the DJ or something like
that. KJ the Lady DJ.
See there? I knew it was in there. It
coming
was in my spirit.
WWON mm-hmm. live.
See there? I told you. You heard it. You heard it here. And so we just praise God for each of you. And we hope that if you haven't purchased your ticket, or they'll be available Sunday after church.
Yes.
And we want it to be a complete sellout. We want to make sure that everyone participates and be a part. Something powerful happens, just like it did in Acts, when we're on one accord, we're in one place, and we're believing and expecting God somebody's laughing at you real hard, expecting God to do something. And I believe that this is going to really push us forward as we get ready to move through the summer and close it out and then get ready for the fall. I believe this is going to be the platform that's going to release so many things that are yet held up in the spirit realm that's waiting for us to be on one accord. And I believe God is going to do something powerful because we dared to trust Him and center ourselves and come together around the power and the presence of prayer. Somebody Amen. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Tunstall. He said he'll be praying for our prayer breakfast. He's all the way in Los Angeles, California.
That's right. That's
Thank
right.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So tonight we're looking at Leviticus, the 27th chapter. And were you saying something, Lady?
No, I was
Lady
agreeing.
KJ, the DJ? KJ, the Lady DJ?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
27th chapter.
All right. What was the genre of music that y'all had back in the day? Were you the jazz DJ or you just?
No, we just played. We played everything.
R&B
we played a little of everything. R&B on Sunday nights. If I was on Sunday nights, I would play gospel music.
Okay. Okay.
But during the week, it was R&B and. That we didn't have rap back then. Rap was just on the edge, you know.
Still underground almost.
Right, kind of. Right. So it was R&B, but on Sunday evenings, if I had to go, it was I did gospel.
Okay, all right. Well, all of us had some things in our past that really kind of propelled us to where we are, and we know that. God is yet able to transform us into who He would have us to be. And many times the things that the gifts and the gift sets and the skill sets that we have developed in our past really helps us to be who God has called us to be once we come to Him. Would you agree with me
That's
on that?
That's right. Absolutely.
Even with Paul, as he was transformed, you know, God wanted to use that same energy and that same zeal that he had. But it was baptized, and some people say he changed partners. You know, he changed dance partners. He was dancing with the devil, but now he was dancing for the Lord.
Amen.
And so it is with many of us. All of us have a history. All of us have a past. But aren't you glad today that you're saved by the grace of God? Aren't you glad that you can have that same enthusiasm and that same zeal for God? Even after you've come in out of darkness into the marvelous light, who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? I praise God that I used to be something, but now I am who He would have me to be.
Amen.
All right, now y'all not going to help me tonight. Somebody give God some praise right through there.
Amen. I see lots of hearts and thumbs
That's
up.
Right. That's
Hallelujah.
Right. Because God saved us. God rescued us. God transformed us.
Yes.
God picked us up. I'm not trying to preach tonight, but it was God who turned us around, placed our feet on the solid ground.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah. All right, Lady Kim. Well, let me say this before we get into Leviticus, and we're going to just spend maybe about 15 minutes in this 27th chapter, and then we'll come back and do a little review. But we're going to, after we finish this 27th chapter, rather than jumping off into Numbers, we want to have some time where we can ask those of you who have some particular topics that you wanted us to tackle over the summer. We want to just lay out a plan in terms of dealing with some issues that are relevant to, you know, what the Bible has to say. It might be relationships, it might be money, it might be whatever it might be. We want to just kind of dig deep, drill deep, if you will, and just kind of see what the scripture has to say around various topics after we finish this study in Leviticus, and then give some scriptural insight. And so if we can get maybe a consistency of about four different topics that people want, that you want to hear about, that you want us to talk about, you know, and give scriptural references to and help offer some guidance in terms of what the Bible says. If you can go ahead and think about that between now and next Bible study, or if you have a topic on your mind that you've been wanting to talk about and to have a study around, we'll be more than glad to entertain that and use it as part of the platform that we're going to develop when we finish this 27th chapter.
Amen.
So Lady Kim's going to be taking notes as you're pondering and thinking about what it is. Is that Bishop T. Gary Benjamin Jr.? Wow. We're honored to have you in the viewership tonight, and we're so grateful for your influence in the kingdom and how you're still a blessing personally to us. And we're just grateful that you're able to be on the call tonight.
Amen.
Any particular topic that you think would be of importance for people? I know we're struggling with crime, and we're struggling with this election, and we're struggling with politics, and we're struggling with security and trying to understand how do we flow and how do we move, and in a world that seems like it's falling apart and like no one is really connected anymore, and that a generation is kind of losing sight of the importance and the significance of relationship with God. I see one that says relationships. You might want to write that one down, Lady Kim. Is that what Minister Monique indicated? Talk about relationships and how important that is, and what does God have to say about that? What comes to mind for you, Lady Kim, in terms of a topic or something that's a pressing issue that needs to be? And I know we didn't discuss this earlier, but if you don't have anything right now, then we can always come back to that later.
Amen. Well, like you said, there are many issues that face us, and I guess, you know, whatever pressing issue a person has is what's on their mind right now. And mine is, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the election, upcoming election,
mm-hmm.
and this Project 2025, that this agenda that this left-wing conservatives have about how they're trying to mold and shape the future of our country. And so we have to be very careful about how we vote. And so we need to be strategic about voting. We need to get out and vote because this is an era where a spirit is trying to overtake our country, overtake our freedom, overtake our democracy, and change it for the worse. So as African American people of color, poor people, we will be in a terrible situation
mm-hmm.
if we don't get out and vote. So what's on my mind and my heart is the state of this country, the voting. And I always said I'm not a political person, but this agenda and the candidate that's the opposing candidate that's running against our president disturbs me. And so we really need to get out and vote.
Okay. And as you were talking, I was trying to frame that in terms of a spiritual application. I think it has to do with the spirit that's trying to really, how do we deal with those spirits that are trying to control and try to manifest itself in the world as it relates to everything, not just the political realm, but also relationships, and also as it relates to guidance in terms of how we deal with our children and how we make sure that we pass on proper instructions and direction for those who are yet coming behind us, and the importance and significance of legacy. And the Bible says we have to try the spirit by the spirit, because there are many spirits that are out there in the world, and we have to be careful about trying to latch on to everything that maybe sounds good, that's not good, and know that God has not given us, here it is, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I see several other people are listing a couple of other topics there. And what are some of the people saying, Lady Kim? You have your 2020 vision on. I don't.
When God
says
yes.
That was a joke. Yes. You'll get that on the way home. Okay.
When God says yes. Also, when God says no. Mm-hmm. And then just the thought, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Help us with taking the first step to mm-hmm. trust God, believe God, hear God, accept God, or listen to God. When God says wait, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. another one.
Yeah. So you got about 3 or 4 over there already. When mm-hmm. God says yes, when God says no, when God says wait, relationships and trusting God and believing Him, listening to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of those are key. And Dr. Tonsil says the Antichrist, and the Bible mm-hmm. talks about that. And so we have to be aware of being seduced by substitutes mm-hmm. because there are many false prophets and many people leading us away from the very principles that the Bible wants us as believers to be undergirded by, so that we can be beware of the different spirits out there in this world. Mm-hmm. And Jesus dealt with that too. And it's some scripture basis that helps identify and give us confidence in our walk, that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that some things may appear to be the real thing, when really it's just a substitute. And that's part of what I believe the enemy does in terms of throwing us off track and allowing us to lose sight of the destiny that God has for our lives. He will create a mirage or what appears to be the real thing. And we find out that that was really just a substitute. But can't nobody do you like Jesus. Somebody say amen. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. And so we praise God for all of these different processes and different topics of thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a couple of more. One is states targeted fasting. Mm-hmm. About fasting. Another talks about family. It's a family affair. Talk about the craziness and the intricacies of family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that falls under relationships too. So, well, a lot of times when we say relationships, people immediately jump to marital relationships or boyfriend and girlfriend or dating relationships. But when we talk about relationships, we're talking about a whole dynamic of relationships.
That's right.
Family relationships, relationships with your coworkers and significant others and spouse and so forth and so on.
Relationships in the church.
Yes.
Relationships on your job.
Absolutely.
How do we maintain a level of dignity and composure when we in an environment that is not Christ-like,
mm-hmm.
you know? And how do we continue to be consistent in our walk and letting our light shine mm-hmm. in such a way that people will know that we know God and that God knows us.
Amen.
And that we are witnesses of His amazing grace.
Amen.
Okay, we're getting quite a few. Well, Lady Kim, even as they are coming in, and then well, you can go ahead and list your prayer requests as well. But I think part of what Leviticus, this 27th chapter, as we prepare to close it out, do you have any framework for this 27th chapter that we can kind of just get a signal from in terms of how to break out? I believe it's about 31 verses or so in that 27th chapter.
Yes, and I like the way a particular pastor to the website is to be like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He always breaks it down each book into different the chapters into different sections.
Mm-hmm. And so that's to be like Christ.
Yes.
That's the website.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so he's broken down this 27th chapter of Leviticus into four parts. And before I say that, you know, Leviticus, this is the last chapter in the book of Leviticus.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes, you know, we expect chapters to kind of summarize what all the other chapters have talked about. Not Leviticus. The last chapter of Leviticus ends just like it starts, giving us a lot of things, to a lot of do's and don'ts, and a lot of regulations and rules. So it's broken down into four parts. The first one, the 27th chapter, verses 1 through 8, talks about the value of persons dedicated to the Lord with a vow. Verses 9 through 13, dedicating animals to the Lord with a vow. Verses 14 through 24, dedicating houses and land with a vow. And verses 25 through 34, render to God the things that are God's.
Wow.
And so I think we can really hang our hat or get some meat from those last few verses in 25 through 34, because it really talks about giving up your tithe.
Mm, okay. So I just want to hear you clearly. You're saying that that's the essence of what we can really pull from 27?
From the whole 27th chapter, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's mostly about giving up a vow or the value of dedicating things to the Lord.
Okay.
With a vow, and a vow is a certain sum of money in this case.
Okay. And so when we talk about making vows or commitments to God, it's important that we understand that if we say we're going to do a thing, you know, I've seen countless people when they're going through, or when their backs up against the wall, they'll say, God, if you get me out of this, I promise that I'm going to be faithful and in my attendance. I promise I'm going to give them my tithes. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
I promise that, God, if you just get me out of this struggle, I'm going to do right. I'm going to fly right. I'm going to be who you. And you're really making a vow. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be faithful in that in which we make a vow toward, because particularly when it comes to, that's in all vows, but particularly when it comes to making a vow to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And so this chapter really talks about how important it is for us to be faithful in our promises and our commitments to God. And so many times I think once we have received the thing, once we have received the blessing, once we have the prayer has been answered, many times we lose sight of that which we said we were going to do. And sometimes it kind of dries up. Our enthusiasm kind of goes a little sour. Our faithfulness is not at an all-time high like it was when we were going through. And once we get to a point where we have receive that thing, or we have been blessed by God for what we were asking him, we don't keep the same kind of enthusiasm after we have been blessed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is that God makes a vow or a covenant or a promise to us.
Mm-hmm.
And God never breaks his promises. And so when we make a vow, it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep our commitment. So to break a vow is not a good thing in God's sight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, part of what I see here as well is that just as the Israelites were called to honor their vow and offerings to the Lord with sincerity and integrity, we are encouraged today to uphold that same kind of dedication and commitment to God, and be intentional in that which we say we are going to render to God. You know, in our worship, even in our devotion, in our stewardship, that's part of what you were talking about early. And even in every aspect of our lives, I think God looks for consistency. We talked about it a few minutes ago in terms of prayer. and how when we develop consistency, it creates intimacy with God, because He knows that we're searching after His heart, and we're trying to be consistent, and we're not just doing a thing to get out of a mess, but we're trying to develop a lifestyle that's going to be pleasing in His sight.
Amen.
And so I believe that's part of what God looks for. It's not just in a particular area, but it's in all aspects of our lives. And so the behavior should match the belief.
Mm-hmm.
What you believe about God should align with what your behavior displays.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be walking left and talking right, or mm-hmm. however that saying goes.
That's right.
And so we have to make sure that once we have developed the behavior, then once we have developed the belief in what we believe about God, that's almost like the tree. You can tell by the tree what kind of fruit, you know. A tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And so once you have really placed yourself in a surrendered state of mind, I think your behavior really indicates just how deep your belief is in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a believer walking around saying one thing and doing something altogether different, then that's the indication of the fruit on your tree.
Hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I know I'm saying a mouthful, but I hope somebody's understanding what I'm saying, because
absolutely,
it's important that our lifestyle and our behavior lines up with what God will require of us in terms of what we believe about God.
Amen. Amen. And so your actions should speak louder than your words.
Okay. Okay.
Like you said, we can't talk right
mm-hmm.
and walk left.
Okay.
We have to talk right and walk right.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, the Bible also says the steps of a good man mm-hmm. are ordered by the Lord.
Okay.
And so when God orders our steps, when we commit ourselves to God, we need to make sure that we walk in the way in which He has ordered.
Okay. Okay. I believe it's Romans. It says that Paul, I beseech you,
yes,
therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God,
present
your bodies as living sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we ought not allow the world to dictate to us how we ought to behave, but we ought to be clear in terms of the renewal that happens when we're consistently aligning ourselves with that which God has placed in His word for us to be obedient to.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have some comments there?
Just a couple of funny ones. Dr. Q said that you ought to preach that this coming Sunday, the behavior that matches the belief. She mm-hmm. says she over here saying amen like we can hear.
like we can hear. We can hear you in the spirit. That's right. That's
amen.
Right. And
yeah.
We praise God for each of you tonight. What else would you share with us, Lady Kim, that really kind of helps us tie a bow around 27 and maybe start on some of these subjects for discussion on next week?
Well, again, you know, it just talks about the Israelites and how they had the ability to symbolically dedicate things to the Lord by a payment, through a payment of money.
Okay.
They could dedicate a person, they could dedicate an animal, they could dedicate houses and land. But the main thing is that last part when it says, when the Israelites entered Canaan,
mm-hmm.
remember all this time in Leviticus, they're still in the wilderness.
Okay.
But now when the Israelites enter Canaan, they were not to neglect giving God what belonged to Him.
Okay.
Amen. The firstborn of all animals and the tithe of produce and livestock was to be given to God regularly. And the final verse of Leviticus tells us these commands were given to Moses when God spoke with him on Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. So as a result of what God has done in our lives, we are to keep our vow or our commitment to him. Malachi says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, test me, try me. Here was said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we have to trust God. When we make a vow, we have to keep our vow, keep that promise that we make to God. And God will always, always keep his promises for us.
Okay. So that whole area of stewardship has a lot to do with us honoring God with what he has blessed us with, mm-hmm. and being good stewards over the manifold blessings that he has provided, the gifts, the talents, the resources, our lives. A lot of times people, when they hear stewardship or when they hear money or giving up the tithe, they think that that's all that they can do. And many times people feel as if, since they don't have the kind of money that they can give in terms of being consistent, that there's nothing else that they can do. But there's a lot you can do. You can use your gifts, you can use your resources other than your money, and allow that to be a tenth of giving back to God. But I think many times, Lady Kim, and that's probably be one of the discussions that we will have, many times people, and you've said it before, they pay for what they want and beg for what they need. Is that right?
That's it.
And so we have to break that cycle, mm-hmm. and bind that spirit. See, that's a spirit right there. We have to bind that spirit that's keeping us in a rut, and how the enemy will use that to keep you from enjoying the fullness of what God has for you. Mm-hmm. And because one of the things I found out, and you already know, and most people who know me know, that the blessing lies in releasing back to God what he's given us. And as Bishop Benjamin, if he's still on the call, he tells us all the time, we're blessed to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. We're saved to do some saving, and we're loved by God that we might love somebody else. So the blessing lies in giving it away, not trying to keep it and hold on to it. And the more you give, the more God will give back to you. And some people have a hard time digesting that and believing that, but I'm a living witness, and both of us are, that you can't beat God's giving.
No,
I'm telling
you. Try.
And so sometimes, you know, I used to think about what I was going to do in terms of how I was going to be a blessing to somebody, mm-hmm. or how I was going to respond to helping and assisting, and even if it's just paying for a meal. But that doesn't even cross my mind, because by the time I paid for something for $50, somebody blesses me with $75. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it works, and that God has promised in his word, the same scripture that you just mentioned, that he will open up the very windows of heaven and pours out blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive. And so that's just part of the stewardship. But in all aspects of our lives, when we think about just how good God has been, then that should raise the bar in terms of how we respond back to God for how he sustains us and blesses us.
Amen, amen. And you know, but the beginning of that in Malachi, that third chapter, it says, will a man rob God?
That's right.
And it's a question, but it then turns around and it answers that question. Wherein have we robbed God? In tithes and in offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can afford to pay your tithes, if you, well, I shouldn't say can afford to, we can all afford,
right.
afford to, but don't neglect paying your tithes. But you can also like you said, give of your resources,
mm-hmm.
give of your time, give of your talent. Amen. But God also expects us to give of our time, of our tithe.
That's right. That's Amen. A lot of T's.
A lot of tithe. A lot of T's. Tithe, time,
talent.
Treasure.
Yeah.
Amen. God expects all of it.
That's right.
Amen. Not just one thing.
That's right.
And you know, a lot of times we get stuck on that tenth because right. the tithe means a tenth, but God wants you to go over and beyond that.
That's right.
Jesus gave his all. Jesus gave his life that we might have life more abundantly. And so because Jesus gave it all, we need to give it all as much as we can. So we need to lay it all out there and give it all to God and watch God show up in a powerful way in your life.
That's right. All right. Well, Lady Kim, our time is far spent, and we praise God for each of you tonight being on this call. Are there any prayer requests that any of you want to list and participate in as we write those down? We're going to ask Lady Kim to close us out with a word of prayer. We have some standing requests that she's going to mention, but if there are any persons on the call tonight that perhaps have a particular prayer request that we are not aware of, we want you to go ahead and list that now as we prepare for the close of tonight's time together.
Hey, man, we want to continue to lift up the family of Sister Vendora Mills and the loss of her niece. She was funeralized this past Saturday, as well as Brother George Shoulders and the loss of his brother, who was funeralized this past Saturday. And then we want to lift up Sister Evelyn Oliver and her family, Brother Ellis Oliver, in the loss of her sister. And that those arrangements, I have not gotten word on those arrangements yet, but I will follow up with Sister Evelyn soon to find out what those arrangements are.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't see any other requests. You mind closing us out with a word of prayer?
Let's go to God in prayer tonight. God, we thank you tonight. We thank you that you are God who changes not, that you made a covenant with us more than 2,000 years ago. You made a covenant with us at the beginning of time. And so we thank you, oh God, that you keep your promises to us. Now, God, continue to remind us that we are to keep our vow or our promises to you. We ask, oh God, that as we continue to go forth from this day, that you would bless our efforts as the people of God, that you would bless our time, our tithe, our talent, and our treasure as we give them back to you. God, we lift up our bereaved families to you. We lift up the Mills, Vendora Mills and her family, Brother George Shoulders and his family, Evelyn Oliver and her family. We lift up to you, oh God, all those that friends of Anointed Temple of Praise and the Murray family who are enduring transition and death, oh God. We lift up the Palmer family to you tonight, God, at Mississippi Boulevard and the sudden loss of their daughter. We thank you for sparing the life of Katina Holmes, Glover Holmes' son, oh God, as he was leaving work and was accosted by some young men who tried to take his car and he was shot. But we thank you for sparing his life, oh God. And we ask, oh God, that you would stem the tide of violence that's going on in our community. We ask that you would bless our upcoming election, oh God, and the things that are the undercurrent that is stirring in our nation. We know that you are God and you change us not. And God, we trust and believe that you will do everything in your word. And so we know, oh God, that we have a job that we have to do also. So we thank you, oh God, that you are stirring our spirit to do that job. We ask a blessing on Anointed Temple of Praise and on our pastor, oh God, as he continues to lead your church and your people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray for Sister Lena Jackson's nephew and the loss of his left hand doing those fireworks on the 4th of July. We ask that you would bless him and his family, oh God, and heal his hand today, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we ask that you would continue to lead us and guide us and all that we undertake to do and say. We pray for Sister Cheryl, oh God, healing her foot as she recovers from surgery, and her son, oh God, in dental surgery, God. We thank you today, God, for healing them. Now, God, as we go from this platform on today, we ask that you will forever be in our presence. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God.
All right. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank each of you for being on tonight, and we're certainly grateful for your participation and cooperation. And we know that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, and we serve a prayer-answering God.
Yes,
so
we do.
Be encouraged and wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. So until next time, you be blessed.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.